following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth.
Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show.
Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows?
Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Truth, the half-truth, and nothing of the truth. Veritas News, now with Sal Manella.
Good evening, this is Sal Manella with the Veritas News. In an astounding irony of coincidental timing, President Trump on this same day announces the end of federal funding for women's birth control and pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement. The president's White House press secretary and one-time D.C. Easter Bunny, Sean Spicer, defended his master's decisions and said there is no correlation at all with King Khan's views on birth control and pulling out. Skeptics and environmentalists warn, however, that the two are related. They fear that pulling out of the Paris Agreement may result in a world, metaphorically at least, much like the personhood of Eric Trump, apparently the result of Trump's former favorite method of birth control, pulling out. According to First Lady Melania Trump, abstinence is now the couple's favorite method of birth control today. In a massive raid on the Big Apple, FBI agents nabbed 19 members of the infamous Covfefe crime family. Because of the raid on the Big Apple, the FDA guarantees no insects or worms, but recommends a thorough washing of the fruit. Consumers of organic fruit should avoid the Big Apple and select the lunch pail size not treated with Raid. Due to the time of day of the FBI's arrest, most of the Covfefe mob members were asleep in various degrees of undress. To avoid a spectacle, escorting 19 nearly naked men to the FBI truck transporting them to jail, Agent Taylor was called in to ensure that each man wore at least cuffs. When asked if nabbing members of the Mafia's Covfefe family could possibly equate to future arrest by the FBI in the Trump-Russia investigation, a spokesman for the agency said, quote, "No, you can't compare both cases since the arrests made against the Covfefe family, unlike the Trump case, were made combating organized crime." This has been Sal Manila with the Veritas News. Now here's Tom Savino with Savino Veritas.
Are you tired of people dying around you at your favorite Italian restaurant? Well, worry no more. And forget about it, restaurant. Forget about it. Hey, the gang of Forget About It has found the ultimate silencer and non-bloody assassinations. Hey, you never have to worry about loud sounds, gunfire, people falling over you, bloody people on top of you. Because of the boys that Forget About It have discovered a new way, a silent way of killing. For their assassination victims, they serve them Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatballs. And the victims, they die silently in the bathroom. You got somebody you want out of your hair? Hey, Forget About It. Get them a gift certificate at Forget About It. But make sure you specify they try Ebola spaghetti, or Ebola spaghetti and meatball, or Ebola macaroni. Ebola spaghetti. No gluten-free.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Oops, spilled a little Covfefe there. This is Tom Savino, Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California, land of make-believe and fantasy, but no land of fantasy here in Savino Veritas, because truth is what we're after. And here's tonight's quotation about truth from Adrian Rich. To lie habitually as a way of life is to lose contact with the unconscious. It is like taking sleeping pills, which confer sleep but blot out dreaming. The unconscious wants truth. It ceases to speak to those who want something else. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a president who does not adhere to this. He's lost his unconscious. He's lost his soul, if he had one. And we are in the process of taking down this crazy regime of fascists. And let's do so on Stefano de Veritas. Let's not believe his untruthful spiels. This is Stefano Veritas. I may be joking, but I'm never kidding.
Please give it up for Rachel Bloom.
This one goes out to all my bipeds who identify as ladies.
This world of ours is full of choice, but must I choose between only John or Joyce? All my options only, hard or moist. My vagina has its own voice, not vocal cords, a metaphorical voice. Sometimes I do a voice for my vagina. Please don't tell me I'm the only one who does that. Cause my sex junk is so much more than either or. Power bottom or a top off. Versatile love may have some butt stuff.
Do you take it in the ass?
Oh my God!
It's evolution, ain't nothing new. There's nothing taboo about a sex stew. Just add salt or Gerard Depardieu. French treasure. Cause my sex junk is so much more than either or. If they're alive, I'll date them. Channing or genitatum. I'm down for anything. Don't box in my box. Give someone new a handy, then give yourself props.
Oh, you think you're so smart. Did you learn gay in college?
Here with all of that while I drop some knowledge. Sexuality's a spectrum, everyone is on it. Even you might like it if you sit up on it. Drag queen, drag king, just do what feels right. You're tall, pansexual, flirty woods, right? Who enjoys a fleshlight in the cold moonlight?
With a sad clown? Skyping via satellite?
Damn Skippy Home Slice, sing it with me all night. Sex how you want, it's your goddamn right. Cause my sex junk is so much more than either Get off your soapbox, get off your soapbox. My sex junk's better than bagels with lox, with lots of schmear.
Get off the babysitter. Put on your pants. Come out with your hands up.
Welcome, Fantasy Island.
All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
This is the artist D from fourculture.com. In Wine the Truth? I believe so. You're listening to Tom Savino on SRN1 live. But be sure to hop over to juicedtalk.com to download after this broadcast. That's juicedtalk.com. Now, Tom, pour me another glass of wine and get back on my radio.
Hours and hours of cable news coverage of Trump and Russia yesterday. I would like to offer.
Thank you for that, Artist D. You can hear the Artist D on juicedtalk.com and the Artist D and Anne Marie at Up All Night. And, of course, Frank Cotolo, Cotolo Chronicles, and Velvet Steel, and I think that's about it. And me. Well, Dead Air. 1970s comedy radio show restored, unearthed, restored, and now available on Juice Talk is available on Juice Talk. Didn't I just say that? I'm redundant. Yes, and speaking of redundancy, we're going to have a few cuts from Jimmy Kimmel. I was going to give some respect to Jimmy Kimmel. Last week, I want to thank, he has a great friend of mine who's in and out of my memory. Our guest last week was Jeremy Long, comedian, who mentioned that Jimmy Kimmel will be hosting the Academy Awards once again this coming year. And we'll look forward, of course, to our Academy Awards show with Jeremy and Zane Delgado, as we do every year. But let's give some respect to Jimmy Kimmel. Got some funny things from him, and here he is.
Congratulations to Michael Weiss of CNN, who got the award for number one moment of the night.
I'm seeing all the Trumpkin Republicans, many of whom I used to respect, by the way. I thought they stood on principle about going after Obama on the Middle East and policy. Now they're saying, well, the real problem here is not that Trump might have blown an Israeli spy, meaning blew his cover, that is.
Right. What? My God. This president will do anything to stop those leaks. That was on CNN. Of course, the coverage was a little more fair and tilted towards Trump on Fox. This morning on Fox and Friends, they did everything possible to put a positive spin on what many believe was an obstruction of justice.
Regarding Michael Flynn, he said, I hope you can let this go. Now, some people are saying, well, clearly he's ordering the FBI director to end the investigation. You know, some people are saying, does it rise to the level of obstruction of justice? Not so fast.
Because you're saying the word hope is the operative word here. I hope you can let it go. He's not directing him to let it go.
Well, when he said he's a good guy, I hope you can let it go.
Right. He said, I hope. That's not illegal if you say hope. When Obama said hope, nobody impeached him. He put it on his posters. All Trump said is, I hope you can let it go. Maybe he was singing the song from Frozen. We don't know. Those three on Fox and Friends, Trump could shoot one of them in the heart live on the air. The surviving two would still defend Donald Trump. You know, it's getting increasingly difficult to tell what is true and what isn't. So we've come up with a handy guide to tell the difference between the two kinds of news out there right now. We'll start with this. Okay, watch.
There's more breaking news. Indeed, another blockbuster revelation, this time from the New York Times, which has just published a report saying that President Trump asked then FBI Director James Comey to end the investigation of Michael Flynn, the president's former national security advisor.
Okay, that's fake news. Anything Wolf Blitzer says is fake news, and there are three ways of telling. Number one, it's mean to President Trump. Number two, it is negative. And number three, well, that's it. There is no number three. Now let's look at the other category of news.
All right, some inventive young high school students became fast friends with President Trump, showing off their award-winning science project at the White House, a giant model, rocket inscribed with big, bold, gold capital letters bearing its namesake, Trump.
How did you come up with the name Trump? Does anybody have an idea?
Well, simply because he conquers all.
Oh. All right, so that is Fox News. There are three ways of telling it's Fox News. Number one, it's nice to the president. Number two, it is positive. And number three, it has nothing to do with anything going on in the world. Okay? So let's recap. This is fake news.
What we see is a presidency that's starting to come apart.
Okay? And this is Fox News.
It's okay if you don't like Trump. I'm not mad about that. But how about filling some potholes and, you know, arresting some public urinators?
Yes, those are the leakers we need to find, the public urinators. As simple as...
Oh, my God.
Here he is with President Putin, not too thrilled. See him with President Obama, laughing it up. And finally, here he is with the Trump.
It looks less like a meeting, more like the Trump family passed away and they don't know it yet. Today it was an historic day, a holy day, maybe even an a-holy day, as His Holiness met His Bigliness at the Vatican today. President Trump happened to be in Italy, so he stopped by to say hello to Pope Francis, and it went well. There were no major incidents. Trump felt very at home at the Vatican. He said it reminded him of one of the bathrooms at his house. And the Pope made it clear that he would like our president to join him in promoting peace, giving aid to the poor, and protecting our environment. And the Pope is very persuasive. Unfortunately, Trump is only in year 70 of his 100-year deal with the devil right now, and he's got a no-trade clause, so it's very unlikely he would switch teams. But, you know, when you see Pope Francis with a world leader, and he meets a lot of them, it's easy to read into it. He doesn't have much of a Poper face, I guess. But here he is with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, happy. Here he is with President Putin, not too thrilled. See you with President Obama, laughing it up. And finally, here he is with the Trump. It looks less like a meeting, more like the Trump family passed away and they don't know it yet. When the president and Pope were together, roll that clip. It's interesting because, you know, professional issues aside, on a personal level, meeting the Pope was a big deal for Donald Trump. And we've seen how things have been going between him and Melania lately. So when Trump reached out, I know that he had to be disappointed that the Pope wouldn't hold his hand either. It's, poor guy, he just wants to be loved. He just wants to be touched, that's all. Not only did Trump and the Pope exchange pleasantries, they exchanged gifts.
At the Vatican, the leaders exchanged gifts. The Pope gave the president a collection of writings, as well as a medal depicting an olive branch, the symbol of peace. And President Trump gave the pontiff a Make America Great Again hat and a box of Trump steaks.
Oh, well, that's, you know what, that's nice. So, after their meeting, Trump said he would never forget what the Pope told him. And then he immediately forgot what the Pope told him. But he did, this was interesting, right after the meeting, he did take some time to change his banner header on Twitter. This is, for real, this is what he did. Look at how happy he is. It looks like he's about to fire the Pope, right? Or maybe vice versa. I don't know. Trump's meeting with the Pope lasted about a half an hour. And while we don't know much about what was said, Fox News was able to catch a little snippet. And listen closely here, because it goes by quickly.
So the door of the meeting has opened. We're now seeing the back of the First Lady and the President and the Pope standing there together, asking our producer, is there any sound coming from Vatican television? Can we listen in a little bit?
Hey, when you're a star, they let you do it. Grab them by the...
What? Oh, come on. Is nothing sacred? The Fox News coverage of this today. If you were visiting from another planet and turned on Fox News, you really might not know which of these guys was the holy one. Listen to all this slobbering.
Two men who put a great value on making others feel comfortable and a great value on their own interpersonal skills.
I wonder if they will hug. Is that something that you wouldn't typically see in the Vatican? I mean, I'm just pointing out the fact that our president is an affectionate guy.
The Pope is very affectionate, too.
This is amazing. We're looking at the leader of the free world, the leader of the Catholic Church, who share so many mutual interests and who are both believers. These are men of God.
President Trump is a very friendly person. And when he meets with heads of state or other presidents, oftentimes they will shake hands. And sometimes the president actually does tend to do, I like to joke and call it a reach around.
What? This sexual harassment at Fox News is out of control. They need to calm down. President Trump landed in Sicily tonight for the G7 summit tomorrow. He's now at the tail end of his first big journey overseas as president. He'll have visited 5 countries in 9 days on this trip. It's been a very busy stretch of meetings and dinners and dancing with swords and speeches, too. You know, when Trump gives these speeches, he reads from a script, which is a good idea. And he's done that a lot on this trip. I've noticed, though, it sounds a lot like a fourth grade book report. He speaks very slowly and simply, not too bigly. He just stays in the middle and uses vocabulary even a child could understand. And to highlight that, we asked some actual fourth graders to read parts of Trump's actual speeches from this trip to show how they stack up with the big kid in the Oval Office.
My Big Trip by Donald Trump.
The Middle East is rich with natural beauty, vibrant cultures, and massive amounts of historic treasures.
The Middle East is rich with natural beauty, vibrant cultures, and massive amounts of historic treasures.
Saudi Arabia is home to the holiest sites and one of the world's great faiths.
Saudi Arabia is home to the holiest sites in one of the world's great faiths.
Each year, millions of Muslims come from around the world to take part in the Hajj.
In addition to ancient wonders, this country is also home to modern ones. We must work together to build a future where the nations of the regions are at peace.
And all of our children can grow.
And grow up strong.
And grow up strong.
Jerusalem is a sacred city.
Its beauty, splendor, and heritage
are like no other place on earth. This is a land filled with beauty, wonder, and the Spirit of God. During my travels, I have seen many hopeful signs that lead me to believe that we can truly achieve a more peaceful future for this region and for people of all faiths and all beliefs and frankly, all over the world.
Thank you.
I like you too.
The fabulous D show.
All tied up, ready.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
JuicedTalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne-Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne-Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Dear camp counselor, hello, I'm Elliot's mother. Elliot's father and I are thrilled that he will be spending his summer with you at Camp Chautauqua. As this is Elliot's first time at sleepaway camp, I wanted to let you know a few things about him so that you will be prepared to look after him properly. For starters, Elliot does not like to be called El or Ellie. He prefers Elliot. He may insist that you refer to him as Claude Death or the Nightcrawler. Don't. That conversation won't end well. Elliot loves the outdoors and animals. Feel free to let him near any animal that is larger than his mouth. Generally, it is best to avoid making eye contact with Elliot. If you look directly at him, he will take it as a sign of aggression and charge at you. It is best not to let Elliot smell you. Elliot does not like to be surprised. Do not surprise him under any circumstances. If you do, he will be sure to surprise you later when you're sleeping. You don't want that. Trust me. I know Elliot will really love being a camper. Having said that, you should know that he has a pretty severe aversion to team sports, hiking, arts, crafts, and other children. On the other hand, he loves chanting. Once he starts, he can't seem to stop. Elliot may bite you, but probably not. But he might. If he does happen to bite you, do not be alarmed. Just ignore him. Let your body go limp and wait it out. Whatever you do, do not resist. If you resist, he will bite down harder and start shaking his head from side to side in order to rip off as much flesh as possible. But probably not. But he might. If Elliot wants a hug, give it to him, but end it before he can really start grinding on you. Morning is a particularly difficult time for Elliot. He tends to wake up at dawn, whereupon he usually launches directly into his morning rampage. Not my term, doctor's term. That is why we always tie Elliot down at night. Finally, Elliot does not know that we are leaving him here today. When you are finished reading this note, please let me know that you understand by nodding to me. Great. Once I get your signal, I will nod slightly and then slowly start to back away. At that point, I want you to reach into the bag and pull out the candy bar that is inside it. Show the candy bar to Elliot. Wave it around. While he is distracted by the candy bar, I am going to make a run for it. If Elliot starts to run for me, I'll need you to tackle him so I can have a chance to get to my car, okay? Great. We are very excited for Elliot and Camp Chautauqua. While he can be a handful, he's a sweet kid. We know you'll really like him once you get to know him. Sincerely, Grace Eldridge. P.S. If you have any problems, please do not hesitate to contact the local police. That usually scares them pretty good.
Bonnie doesn't have to work tomorrow. Bonnie has a day off.
Tonight we have the fifth in a series from the Los Angeles Times, in their series of editorials called The Problem with Trump. Editorial 5. Conspiracy Theorist in Chief. This is April 6, 2017. It was bad enough back in 2011 when Donald Trump began peddling the crackpot conspiracy theory that President Barack Obama was not a native-born American. But at least Trump was just a private citizen then. By the time he tweeted last month, so this would now be in March, that Obama had sunk so low as to tap, and that's T-A-P-P, my phones during the very sacred election process, end quote, Trump was a sitting president accusing a predecessor of what would have been an impeachable offense. Trump went public with this absurd accusation without consulting the law enforcement and intelligence officials who would have disabused him of a conspiracy theory he apparently imbibed from right-wing media. After the FBI director debunked it, Trump held fast, claiming he hadn't meant that he had been literally wiretapped. Most people know by now that the new president of the United States traffics in untruths and half-truths, and that his word cannot be taken at face value. Even more troubling, though, is that much of his misinformation is of the creepiest kind. Implausible conspiracy theories from fly-by-night websites, unsubstantiated speculations from supermarket tabloids, bigoted stories he may have simply made up, stuff he heard on TV talk shows. Here's a tweet. The concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive. That was November 6, 2012. Another tweet from November 27, 2016. In addition to winning the Electoral College in a landslide, I won the popular vote if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally. This is pathetic, but it's also alarming. If Trump feels free to take to Twitter to make wild, paranoid, unsubstantiated accusations against his predecessor, why should the nation believe what he says about a North Korean missile test, Russian troop movements in Europe, or a natural disaster in the United States? Trump's willingness to embrace unproven, conspiratorial, and even racist theories became clear during the campaign when he reportedly told tall tales that seemed to reinforce ugly stereotypes about minorities. Take his now famous assertion that he watched thousands of people in, quote, a heavy Arab population, end quote, in New Jersey cheer the collapse of the World Trade Center on 9/11, an astonishing account that no one has been able to verify. PolitiFact rated that as pants on fire. or his retweeting of a bogus crime statistic purporting to show that 81% of white homicide victims are killed by blacks. That correct figure is 15%. On several occasions, he retweeted white nationalists. Remember the image of Hillary Clinton and the Star of David, for instance? His engagement with, to put it politely, out of the mainstream ideas has attracted some strange bedfellows. It may not be fair to attribute to his senior aide Steve Bannon all the views that were published on the controversial alt-right site Breitbart.com, of which Bannon was the executive chairman. But it is certainly fair to wonder why Trump has elevated to a senior West Wing position a man who has trafficked in nonsense, bigotry, and rank speculation. Of course, it was widely hoped that when Trump came into office, he would put the conspiracy theories and red meat scare stories behind him. Perhaps the locker-up mantra and the fear-mongering about Mexican rapists and the racial dog whistles of the assertions about Ted Cruz's father's connection to Lee Harvey Oswald, perhaps all that was just part of a cynical bid for votes, and it would go away when the election was over. But there's no sign of that. Trump seems as willing to mouth off today as he was on the campaign about wiretaps, inauguration crowds, fraudulent voters, you name it. And the problem with that is that he is no longer a blowhard TV personality or a raunchy guest on Howard Stern or a self-promoting real estate magnate or even a long-shot candidate for the Republican nomination. He's now the President of the United States, and he is allowing the credibility of his unimaginably powerful office to be exploited and wasted on crackpot ideas that have been rightly discredited by politicians from both parties. This has been the fifth in the series, The Problem with Trump. Stay tuned for six and the last, coming soon.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. Including myself.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy? Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do.
I do.
Including myself.
I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do.
Including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
You're listening to Savino Veritas. This is a satirical show, but as I say, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding, because this is a very scary, frightening, eve of destruction moment in the United States of America. We need to stand together and do something about it. I promise I'll be cheering you up momentarily, but before I do, I'm going to bring you down even more. Here's a tape I got, an audio I got very secretly from an entity called Anonymous. Listen very carefully.
We are Anonymous and we have been gathering breadcrumbs left by the Kremlin operatives who conducted the Cyber Pearl Harbor attack on America's electoral infrastructure. On June 6, 2015, Vladimir Putin signed the order directing Russian SVR to employ every means to manipulate the American election. 2 weeks later, Donald Trump announced his candidacy for U.S. president. Months earlier, Trump met with Russian intelligence officials to formulate a plan to take over the U.S. government with the help of Russia. We know this because we have a mole inside these operations. Alas, when children run operations, they spill milk along the way and forget to clean up. The Kremlin children sloppily left digital fingerprints, communications, and voice messages for Anonymous to find. Yes, we know how these amateurs stole the emails from the Democratic servers in Washington, D.C. That Russian team came in with all its little toys and vacuumed up the data, brazenly setting up shop near the Democratic National Headquarters until its deed was done. We know the Russians have operatives in two U.S. vote machine companies. We know they burrowed into the election systems of 29 states to cause mischief and remove voters. We know they have reverse-engineered data cards used in two different vote machines. And we know they have perfected the skill set to wirelessly hack machines to change the votes. The SVR attack was an act of war against the United States to subvert its political system in order to destabilize and paralyze the U.S. so that it could not effectively counter Russian aggression in Europe. It was meant as a warning that democracy itself is no longer safe. The SVR cyber war campaign was insidious and devastating. Stage 1 involved the stealing of sensitive information that could be used to discredit and compromise Hillary Clinton. This stolen data was doctored for maximum damage. It was then disseminated through the Russian propagandist WikiLeaks to make it appear to be from whistleblowers rather than hackers. Stage 2 involved having Russian agents based in pro-Russian countries set up fake news to spread lies about Hillary in order to irreparably damage her and suppress the vote. Thousands of such stories were leveraged into a massive disinformation campaign backed by a Russian troll and cyberbot army. This toxic flood of propaganda poisoned the well of democracy and undermined the legitimacy and fairness of the election. Stage 3 involved the contacts with Donald Trump both directly and through surrogates such as his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and Russian agent Paul Manafort. Trump has been compromised by the SVR personally and professionally, and Trump knows that he must play their game or be destroyed. For Russia, this is a win-win because either it has Trump as a puppet or it further undermines American democracy by bringing down another president. Stage 4 involved the placement of Russian agents and advocates into the Trump administration and executive agencies in order to ensure that its geopolitical agenda is realized. This is being done right now. Donald Trump has mocked the overwhelming evidence that Russia got him elected through cyber warfare. But now we have shown that the SVR plans and his communications with the Kremlin's goblins are not going to stay hidden. Vladimir Putin's D-Day declaration of war against America has now been exposed. Anonymous asks all respectable intel sources and white hats to flood the world with every scrap of data showing that 75 years after Pearl Harbor, Russia committed another unprovoked act of war against the United States. Let the response be as robust as it was in 1941. We are anonymous, we are a legion, we are everywhere, we are nowhere, we do not forgive, we do not forget. Expect us. Respect us.
Mysterious, curious to say the least. That audio, by the way, was sent to me a month ago. This is well before, well, at least a week or two before the general media got the information and the intelligence community released the information about the Russia-Trump connection.
I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
Do
you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
Including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy? Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
Including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the
Why are we suddenly getting all this mail?
We get better.
Now it's time for letters from listeners.
Oh, hey. Dear Barack. Can we call you Barack now? Anyway, you look good. Tan, well rested. You earned that time off. We saw your speech in Chicago the other day. You still got it with the jokes. Man, that was a good speech. So good it made us cry. Not sure it was a happy cry. Gotta be honest, when you left the White House, our emotions were not in a good place. In the back of our minds, we secretly hoped that you'd come galloping back atop a golden unicorn, laminated copy of the Constitution in hand, and tell us to follow your lead with those famous words you never really said. Everyone chill the fuck out. I got this. And we know you were worried about us when you left, that we might not be up to the challenge. But life is funny. We didn't shut the door, pull up the covers, and go to sleep for 500 years. We got up and we got organized. And we handled this protesting stuff on our own because we had no other choice. In a way, peacing out in Fiji was one of the best things you could have done for us. While you were enjoying a well-earned restorative kite surf with Richard Branson, we were marching. While you were regaining your sense of style, we were piling into airports to protest an unjust Muslim ban. We were chanting in the cold. We were putting our law degrees to work on chilly terminal floors at the airport at 4 a.m. And we were winning. While you were hanging out at the South Pacific with Oprah and Springsteen, we were organizing in our communities, calling our elected officials and holding their feet to the fire. We got Paul Ryan to admit that Obamacare is the law of the land. Tens of thousands of women decided to run for office. A new generation of activists was born, and an older generation came roaring back to life. We remembered what you said when you left office. You warned us what was at stake. You encouraged us to get out and fight for our values in person. Show up, you said. You reminded us what democracy requires of us, specifically us, and not just when there's a big election on the horizon.
It turns out we're pretty good at this stuff on our own. When the chips are down, we can pull ourselves together and fight back. We don't always need you to show us the way, after all. But we are glad you're back and down to help. Quote, "The single most important thing I can do is to help in any way I can prepare the next generation of leadership to take up the baton and take their own crack at changing the world," end quote. That's what you said in your speech. In the words of our all-time favorite meme of you, "Everyone chill the fuck out. We got this. Thanks for the prep talk. Glad to have you on the team. Let's do this. Love, America."
Mr. Comey, sir, I thought if you came back for one last meeting, we could straighten things out. Please, sit down.
I am sitting, Mr. Trump.
Well, then kneel down. I want to talk to Jim alone.
Huh? Yeah, sure, Mr. President. Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton.
Look, I want a do-over. I have no tapes. Let's make a deal. You hand over all your notes, and I'll erase the tapes. I mean, there are no tapes! No tapes! What is it? Why are the walls moving in on me?
They say sometimes a ghost haunts this room.
Lincoln?
Close.
Richard Nixon!
I came to thank you, Donald. I'm moving up. Thanks to you, I'm now the 44th best president. I just have one piece of advice. If you have tapes, burn them!
There are no tapes! Help me, Jim. I haven't touched Melania in 3 months. Give me a damn hug. Come on, let's be pals. Give me some advice.
Start hanging out with people who are more honest than you.
Great idea. Get over here, Dick.
My first hug. I like it.
Paid for by the committee to turn the clock ahead to 2020. Or back to whenever. Just not here.
I alone can fix it.
When you knew you couldn't fix it alone. And the feds and media aren't kidding. We've got you covered. Penultimate collusion. When the next to last door is wide open, we ensure the final one won't ever shut. With penultimate collusion insurance, you'll get partisan spin by friendly committee reps.
That doesn't help us a lot.
Fake news redirection.
No evidence of anything into 5 investigations on Capitol Hill. That's a pretty good trick.
And conspiracy theory diversion.
Welcome back to Hannity. Questions continue to swirl around the mysterious murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich.
You can rest securely knowing that a good portion of your premium always goes toward gerrymandering to ensure they'll never be enough votes to impeach you. And with penultimate, regardless of your history of corruption and even obstruction of justice, will never drop you for a pre-existing condition. If there is a there, you can count on our there. Penultimate collusion insurance. We're there when there's a there.
Collusion insurance may void in California, Washington, and Oregon. Coverage does not include active enabling. A shift in party dominance in either Congress and or the Senate may void coverage. Collusion insurance does not cover an act of God should you be struck dead by atmospheric conditions, including but not limited to lightning, mudslides, or flood.
Penultimate collusion. There.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Or military or naval force within a foreign country. I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. I call for the immediate arrest of Jared Kushner. If he should not be suspected of money laundering, racketeering, and influence peddling, then he should be suspected of obstruction of justice and espionage and possibly worse. There is no other option that can be reasonably entertained. 18 U.S. Code 794, Section A, gathering or delivering defense information to aid foreign government, quote, whoever with intent or reason to believe that it is to be used to the injury of the United States or to the advantage of a foreign nation, communicates, delivers, or transmits, or attempts to communicate, deliver, or transmit to any foreign government, or to any faction or party or military or naval force within a foreign country, either directly or indirectly, information relating to the national defense, shall be punished by death or by imprisonment for any term of years or for life. This is from the Espionage Act. Arrest Kushner now. The rest of that statute limits use of the death penalty to the exposure of the identities of American agents or defense plans or communications intelligence. The Russian ambassador to the United States reportedly told his superiors that on December 1st or 2nd of last year in the building on Fifth Avenue in New York City called Trump Tower, that Jared Kushner proposed using Russian communication facilities in a Russian embassy or a Russian consulate to contact the Kremlin directly to make certain the lawful government of the United States could not prevent, interfere with, or know of those communications. Arrest Kushner now. The proposal was so startling, so unprecedented, that even the ambassador, Sergei Kislyak, quote, reportedly was taken aback, according to the Washington Post. The New York Times printed the Kushner side's cover story. This was a means by which Kushner could get information from the Russians about Syria. The cover story given to the Associated Press was that this was all for Michael Flynn's opportunity to talk directly to Russian military leaders about Syria. Having already twice chosen not to mention his meetings with Russians on the SF-86 forms he swore under oath in order to gain his security clearance, Kushner was reportedly himself willing to enter, or willing to have other Trump transition officials enter, diplomatic facilities which have privileged legal status within the United States and talk directly to officials of the Russian government. Even if this Syria excuse is somehow true, Kushner was still intending to communicate with a foreign nation, a foreign enemy nation, about a second foreign nation, a second foreign enemy nation. And he would not have been asking about the Russians' assessment of the weather in Syria. This would have pertained to Russian military involvement there and could likely have delivered, quote, either directly or indirectly, information relating to the national defense. The Syria excuse could still be espionage. Arrest Kushner now. If the Syria excuse is not true, the banking story may be true. The Reuters news agency, quoting seven current and former U.S. officials, reported Kushner had a minimum of three previously undisclosed contacts with Ambassador Kislyak during and after the presidential campaign. It cited one current U.S. law enforcement official in reporting, quote, FBI investigators are examining whether Russians suggested to Kushner or other Trump aides that relaxing economic sanctions would allow Russian banks to offer financing to people with ties to Trump. NBC and the New York Times are reporting Kushner met last December with a Russian banker named Gorkov. And Gorkov's bank is the Russian government's National Development Bank. And Gorkov graduated from the academy that trains the Russian intelligence personnel. And that our intelligence personnel consider Gorkov a, quote, Putin crony. CNN is reporting that Russian government officials even claim to have, quote, derogatory financial information to use against Trump and his staff during the election campaign. The banking story could be money laundering or racketeering and or influence peddling. And it ties together all too cynically with the renewal of EB-5 visas in this country, a renewal stuffed into page 734 of House Bill 244, signed by Trump on the 5th of May, which offers permanent residence in this country to rich foreign investors who put money into things like American real estate projects. It ties together all too cynically with the impression Kushner's family company left with Chinese investors just 2 weeks before that if they bought into Kushner real estate deals in New Jersey, their immigration process could be expedited. And it further ties together, all too cynically, with the CBS News report that when word spread that the FBI investigation of Trump had expanded from potential electoral collusion to finances and investments, Kushner became a, quote, prominent voice advocating the firing of James Comey. And when it is all tied together, what that prominent voice was advocating might reasonably be considered obstruction of justice. Arrest Kushner now. And if the Syria excuse, which could still be espionage, is not true, and if the banking story, which could be money laundering or racketeering or influence peddling and obstruction of justice, is not true, what is left? For what other evil purpose did Jared Kushner want a covert, secure means of direct, spy-tested communication to the Kremlin? After a presidential campaign in which his father-in-law encouraged Russians to hack into the computers of his electoral opponent, why would Jared Kushner want to go inside the Russian embassy or the Russian consulate, the centers of Russian espionage in this country? After an election about which the Russians would boast of their influence, why would Jared Kushner need means to avoid the detection of the government of the United States? After the direct evidence of contact between his father-in-law's campaign and Ambassador Kislyak throughout 2016, why would Jared Kushner want to keep his contact with the Kremlin secret from the intelligence services of the United States? After the mounting circumstantial evidence of collusion between his father-in-law's campaign and the government of Russia, what would make Jared Kushner be willing to tempt prosecution under the Espionage Act to avoid his contact with Russia becoming known to the President of the United States? Arrest Kushner now. Jared Kushner brings us not just into the White House. He brings us both figuratively and literally to the door of the Oval Office. Inside that door, there are people who appear not to understand why they are not permitted to break the law when they think it's a good idea to do so. Inside that door, there are people for whom running this nation is not a solemn and nearly religious responsibility, but an opportunity for wins and power and financial corruption. Inside that door, there is a man in charge who has never been stopped by rules and has never been held accountable when he breaks those rules. These people do not believe in the law. These people do not believe in patriotism. These people do not believe in the United States of America. These people, Kushner, his wife, Trump, General Allen, General McMaster, General Flynn, the others, are in their souls, if not under the law, traitors to this country. And no matter which excuse Jared Kushner has for proposing to talk to Russia using secret Russian communications while surrounded by Russian spies inside Russian territory, there is but one answer. Arrest Kushner now. Resist.
Well, it's been about a week since I last pissed my neighbors off out here, and I tell you, like a top 40 station playing during a clown orgy, this is a fucking nightmare, and the hits just keep on coming. Y'all, I'm but a simple giggle farmer. I can't even keep up with all this shit. In the past week, Donald Trump's had more scandals than Obama had in 8 years, and every time I read about one, I wonder, is this it? Is this the straw that breaks the elephant's back? The thing that makes Republican leaders like McCain stand up and take action? And it never is. I mean, now, he's concerned. He makes that very clear. Man, at this point, McCain's like one of those shitty talking dolls from the 70s. You pull the string on his back, he says one of like six things. Oh, this is deeply disturbing. I'm very concerned by this development. Wow, that's pretty cool he could say all that shit. What else can it do? Nothing. Nothing. And that's disappointing, but they're politicians, they're reptiles, I ain't surprised. What does kind of surprise me, though, is the sheer amount of regular people who still back this guy. And they say, well, try, it's fake news, it's a liberal media conspiracy, he's being railroaded. Really? Do you know how I know that's bullshit? Because there's a conservative media empire, too. And as much as they crucified Barack Obama for trivial shit like a latte salute, if they were capable of fabricating a scandal of this magnitude, you don't think they'd have done it to him? Man, if it was that easy, they'd have had Obama colluding with the Crips to turn Marines gay or some shit. Something real is happening here. Why are they okay with it? I think it's two things. Number one, me, people like me, pissed off liberals, impotently whining about it all. They eat it up. Sometimes it seems like they hate us more than they love their country, man. Some of these people, I swear, I really believe they would let Donald Trump burn their fucking house down if the liberal next door had to choke on the smoke for 15 minutes. And that's a goddamn shame. But the second thing is just human nature. Nobody likes to admit they were wrong. I get it. I'm wrong all the time, man. When it comes to college football, I'm wrong every year. Every fall, I'm convinced the Tennessee Vols are going to win the SEC. They're just what's needed to shake up the college football landscape. I believe it in my heart. And every year, 3 weeks in, I'm like, well, we have not looked too good. We fucked up a lot. But it's early. We're figuring it all out. It'll be fine. 8 weeks in, I'm like, we took some pretty bad L's. But you know what? It ain't us, man. It's the refs. Fake calls. They're in Alabama's pocket colluding against us. Anybody can see it. I'm in denial. But there comes a point every season where I have to swallow my pride and admit, we just ain't got what it takes, man. And every year I have to watch Alabama fans gloat and talk shit and be right, and I hate it. But that don't change the reality. You hearing me, Trump fans? Because I'm telling you, it's about time you cleaned house and rebuilt your fucking program. I mean, at least if you ever want to win it all again.
A concealed truth, that's all a lie is. Either by omission or commission, we never do more than obscure. The truth stays in the undergrowth, waiting to be discovered. That's from Josephine Hart from Damage, and this is Tom Savino with Savino Veritas, saying I may be joking, but I'm never kidding.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.